Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Like the guy in the advertisement, can you hear me now? That's a comforting thing to know. No matter what our situation, no matter what our where we're at in life, found myself in a lot of different places in life, and never really thought that I'd ever be here. But this is where I am. You know, he knows everything about us, and he knows that, like this morning when we heard that Colin had passed away, the first thing that hit me and Sherry both of us just sat there and started crying. But you know what? He's not toting that oxygen bottle no more. This morning, about 2:45, I guess it was, his hand fell in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, there's nothing else that can take that place. I mean, we'd see him come in and carrying that little bottle, and sometimes you just pray and just wonder how in the world the family could do this, but go through it. It's just such a struggle. But God's able, and he's able to take care of those that love him. If you will, get to turn your Bibles to the 11th chapter of John, and I want to read a few things. Read a little scripture here. I want to talk about somebody that was also known by the Lord Jesus Christ and is a great friend. This story is an example, I think, in the scripture of... See, here's the thing about Christ. And it was right funny that one of my sons was talking about it yesterday, and this kind of came to me. That Jesus Christ created all of the, he and God created all of the natural things that we have in this life, the gravity, the solar system, all of the many things that he had. But yet when he came, he abided by them. Death has no control over the Lord Jesus Christ. But he abided by these things in order that man could be saved, or in order that he could become the perfect replacement for mankind in the righteousness of God. But I want to read one scripture, and then we may have to go through the whole scripture to. I just want to read the 11th chapter of John and the 39th verse. This is going to be the principal scripture. And Jesus said, Martha, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, but now he stinketh. And he that hath been dead 4 days, he hath been dead 4 days. In this scripture, and you go back to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked across the earth, and he walked around in Jerusalem, and there with the apostles they would preach and teach. And there was a certain man there, and I'm going to read the first three verses of this 11th chapter. And a certain man there, his name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Martha and Mary. And it was Mary which anointed him with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And her brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore her sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, him who thou lovest is sick. And Jesus said unto them, the sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, and that the Son of Man may be glorified. For Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, if I tried to divide this thing up, this scripture up, because I was trying to study it a little bit to try to make it in this way. And it's ironic in this way that this is the particular time that our brother and also the fellowship of little Colin would pass, because in this expression here we find Lazarus and his brother, and his two sisters, when Jesus would pass by. I want to tell you something. He welcomed them into his home. But another thing that Lazarus did that we'll find out later in these scriptures is that he welcomed them, Jesus, also into his heart. He had sat there at the house many times. Jesus was welcome there. He didn't, many of us, sometimes I've even heard this expression, where that if Jesus was to say, I'm coming to your house today, Would we have to run home and change the channels on the TV? Would we have to run home and hide the things maybe that we've had hidden in our lives sometimes? Sometimes there's things in my life that I've got to say to the Lord, take this away from me. Remove this stone from my life, that I can be conscious of your presence. That all the things that I sometimes think cover me up. It's just like this situation with this family here. The first thought was how sad it was that this little boy had passed away. But then I began to realize that he has gained the glory that God has given him. And here in these scriptures here, we're going to find that Martha and Mary and Lazarus were friends with the Lord Jesus Christ, and this was a young man. Listen, death is something that's coming to us all. Thought about this so many times, and it's amazing that this particular type of scripture came to me, because you see, I realized that death, see, every one of us that's here, the heartbeats that you have are numbered. The breaths that we take, the breaths that we breathe. We have to, first of all, we have to recognize the assurity of death, the reality of death. All die, young people. I've got an 8-month-old grandson back here. And you know what? Since the day he was born, death has been on his trail. And it's the same thing with all of us. It's unlikely that this particular crowd of people will come again next year and all of us will be here at the same time and be just like we were. We don't know. But the reality of death is something that we have to face. But the Bible says in these scriptures here, this perfect example that Jesus was given here about Lazarus with, it's just an example. Because he said, I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Then we have to realize the eventuality of death. That someday all of us will pass. And then the necessity of it. Cowards die many times before their deaths, but the valiant taste of death but once. Among all the wonders that I yet have heard, it seems to me most strange that men should fear death. A necessary end that will come when it will come. Each one of us will face that. We will face that time whenever we will. There will be no future for us. We may have placed all the things, all the examples that we felt like was the example of happiness in our lives. We can place all those, but Jesus said, take the stone away. Death is coming. When Jesus heard these things, he unusually, Martha and Mary looked out the door every day after they'd heard that whenever Lazarus was sick, and they kept looking out the door and looking out the window. They would take turns look, but Jesus remained. He didn't come immediately. And he said here, and when he heard therefore he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. Then after this, he said, let us go into Jerusalem. And the disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Thou goest thither. And Jesus answered, there are not 12 hours in the day. If any man walketh in the day, he stumbleth not. But he that seeth the light of the world, if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things, he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. You know, the consequences sometimes of what Jesus was saying here, you realize the reality of him. Death was just sleeping to him. In other words, he was asleep. All those that have passed before us, we go from generation to generation to generation. I look back, I was talking to one of my grandchildren the other day, that back years ago, where I live now, my grandfather lived. And then my father and my mother lived. And now it's kind of the heart commune now. There's a big crowd of us living around here now. But life. Sometimes I get so tangled up with the trivial things. The things that I thought was going to be a disaster in my life turned out to be a victory in my life. Turned out to be something that was wonderful about it. He said, take the stone away. If you have faith, then believe in me. Jesus said this. And he tarried. He didn't go to see Martha and Mary. And of course, we're getting to the part where that Jesus finally told the disciples exactly what it is. He said, then the disciples will say, Lord, if he sleepeth, he doth well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, that they thought he had spoken of it, taken rest. And then Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. The friend. Lazarus is dead. Martha and Mary had longed for so long, and I want you to notice something also about the scripture. They called Jesus while he was sick, but they didn't call him when he died. In other words, it was as if their faith had a limit as to how far it would go. The sickness he could take care of, but the death he could not. The heart stopped. In other words, when death happens, it's kind of ironic. I know this is kind of a small example about these things, but you see, it's these people that I guess all four of my sons here today, but one of my sons and two of my sons are paramedics, and whenever they, from time to time, and I asked them, how do you experience this, that you go into a house and you see maybe a sick child or somebody, and you sit and watch them, and you try to struggle to keep them to live, and sometimes when you arrive, they're no longer alive. The heart stops. The breathing stops. And instantaneously, the body begins to deteriorate or decay. Now, it's something. I think it just takes a special kind of person to have to rush in to try to save people's lives whenever they're at the worst time, as Martha and Mary here were. And they begged for Jesus to come, but he did not answer. And yet I believe that in this particular scripture where he said these verses here where he said, take ye the stone away. He was not just looking at the lives of Martha and Mary, but he's looking into the lives of every one of us. It's like these words are paramounting back from history and coming back to you and I about maybe some of the simple things that sometimes affect us in our life. And we lack the faith to ask God to remove them and take care of them. Take away the stone. And when Martha and Mary, they see Jesus coming, and finally when he arrives there, then she said, then Thomas said unto the Lord, he said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may not know, to the intent you may not believe. In other words, the apostles did not see Jesus as he was. As sometimes I don't in my own life. Sometimes I don't give him the credit for the things that he's given to me and then call on him for the things that I know that I need, which is most of the time things that I can't buy with money. It's faith. Faith. Lord, I didn't get that job. But maybe he's got something better for you. Lord, this didn't happen in my life. Maybe I didn't pass that test this first time. But he's got something better for you. But Martha, then Thomas, the doubter, some people call him, but I think in a way here Thomas was trying to say something that he said, then said Thomas, Didymus, to his fellow disciples, let's go also that we may die. Then Jesus came and found where they had lain him in the grave for 4 days. And now Bethany was about was about 15 furlongs from Jerusalem, about 7 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them. There was a big crowd around there. And Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming and met him, but Mary stayed still in the house. Remember, they had not called him. They called him when he was sick, but they had not called him when he had passed away. They felt like there was a limit to his faith. There was a limit to their faith. She said to him, Lord, if thou had been here, our brother would not died. More or less almost scolded. Lord, if this hadn't happened in my life, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Somehow or another, it becomes somebody else's fault for me not asking God to take over this thing that I felt like was in my life. And Mary remained in the house. And then she came and she said, Mary said to Jesus, But even now, this shows that she had studied with him. She said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, he will give it unto thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, and I'm going to try to go into more of the, she said to him, and he shall rise again at the resurrection of the last day. Because she'd studied. She knew that at the last day there would be a resurrection and all would rise. But Jesus said these words, and I think it's some of the most powerful words that's ever been in the scriptures. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, how apropos it is today, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? The words that Jesus had said back just before that, he said, not even unto death. I'm the creator of life. God himself had created life, also had the power over death. I mean, the delay that Jesus had waited on time was to show them something that was going to take place. I believe that outside of Jesus' resurrection, this is one of the greatest things that is ever recorded in our scriptures. And then she said unto Martha, saying, the master is come. And as soon as she heard that, now Jesus was not yet coming to the town. I'm going to skip on down to the 32nd verse. And then when Mary was come down, Jesus was, she saw, and she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou had been here, our brother had not died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the apostles weeping also, and the Jews also weeping. And he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? Oh. That's a good one. That's coming. The untimely death, the unexpected delay, and now I want to get to what we might call the unbelievable outcome. Where have you laid him? And then the shortest verse in the Bible is the 11th chapter of John. Jesus wept. In these scriptures we find, Jesus not only, he looked in compassion, and I believe today that even on us he looks in compassion. It's just like that family that's lost that little boy. He looks at each and every one of us, and he sees the problems that are in our life. And the Bible says that here that he had the compassionate heart. And he said, here, Jesus wept. But we couldn't find, they couldn't find the place, all the people that gathered around. I mean, the amazing thing to me is that all the people that stood around at this cemetery. And Jesus said, when he walked up and he saw the unbelief that fills the house. You know, if you look at our country today, you look at the unbelief that we have in our nation. The last time that most of the time I think Keith talks about that I like to preach on the Old Testament, where that as nations Israel failed in the past, and we in America are seeing the same thing coming to us, where that failure after failure, rejection of God, turning away from just the simple precepts that God has established in this nation, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of the little children that are the yet unborn. It's like my little grandson back there, and many. This nation has aborted, 56 million children. The situations that we arrive in this country, this country has forgotten where that God. I'm reminded back in the old days where Samuel went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, he said, I don't know what to do about these people. He said, look, Samuel. He said, don't worry about these things. He said, they've not rejected you. They've rejected me. And Jesus, I believe that this is the reason that he stood and wept before the tomb. And then let me tell you something. Christ could have just simply pointed at that rock and just said, get it out of the way. He could have moved it on his own. The Bible makes it plain. But he didn't. He said that to you and me. He said, take you the stone away. That's the scripture that I want to try to get to. You take you the stone away. He could remove it. He could straighten out this nation in an instant. But our nation, he wants them to, you to do it. We have to do it. Remember the lady that followed him along, and she just said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And the Bible doesn't say that he said, I'll heal you. He didn't say that. He turned around when she touched him and said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And so telling the apostles here and telling Martha and Mary, said, take you the stone away. What if they hadn't? Would Lazarus still be in the grave today? Might be. Might be. But you remove the stone. Then Martha said to him, said, Lord, Martha, who had just minutes before had made the comment to him, Lord, I know that whatever you do, and sometimes I make that comment on my own, I say, Lord, you can take care of this. You do it, and then I'll go out and do whatever I think's right. But Martha, just minutes before, had said to him, Lord, I know that if you asked of God, he'll do whatever he says, but he'll do whatever you ask. But then Martha, in kind of a little faithless statement here, she said, Lord, you want to just look at him? He stinks. He's dead. He's been in there. Don't open. More or less, she was almost saying to him, Lord, don't open it. But Jesus said to her, and as I say, in a pitiful way that I'm trying to, and somehow trying to get this, but I want to tell you something, because that's just me. But it's like Joe says from time to time, it's not about us, it's about him. Amen. Take away the stone. That might hinder you in your life. That little problem, that little situation in your life that we just can't get rid of it, can't let God have it. I'm talking about young and old all together. Take it away. Take that stone away. And then comes one of the sweetest scriptures that I believe I've ever heard. 37 words. I used to count them. I used to count prayers and all that. But Jesus, as I said a while ago, he and his Father had instituted all of the natural things that take place on this earth. Even death was something that he had to tell him about it. Lord, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Always hears our prayer. Always. Always hears your prayer. Young people, he always hears that prayer. The minute that you utter, Lord, you're instantly at his feet. Isn't that something? The creator of all heaven and earth. The minute I say, Lord, I've said it a bunch of times in my life. I don't know if anybody else has said it as many times. I'm sure you have. But he said, Lord, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou hearest me always. But because of this people which stand by, I said these things. Believe that thou hast sent me. And then he spoke with a loud voice. Lazarus, come forth. Amen. I heard an old preacher preaching on this one time. He said if he hadn't called the name Lazarus, everybody in the cemetery would have got up. You know, everybody would have come. What an amazing thing. That Jesus even overpowered something that had been instituted, death. And said, on this example, I'm going to prove to the world. In those five simple words back there. If you remove the stone. Remove the thing that bothers you and troubles you. The sin, maybe that haunts you. You can't hardly get rid of. Listen, I want to tell you something. I've had a little bit of a difficult time. You know why? Because sometimes Satan has a lot of artillery to throw at me. Every time I start to get up here, Brother Joe, he's throwing stuff at you that you look back and you didn't even remember from your past. I made a few bad decisions when I was young. But thank God he is able. Amen. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And one of my favorite scripture is, yet he abideth faithful. Faithful! I've not been faithful all my life to him, but he's always been faithful to me. Always. He's always come back to me. Lord, I love you. Lazarus came forth, and it's amazing to me. Don't you? What do you think? Let's put it from a little bit of perspective now. Lazarus got up, and he was wrapped up from head and toe. I don't know how he did it. He's quite athletic to be a guy that just, his heart started beating, because remember, he was laying there. Remember, his heart just suddenly started beating, Chucky, and all of a sudden, here comes the blood began to flow again. All of a sudden, here comes the breath again, and he's laying there in the tomb, and all these things start happening. Lazarus is laying there, and all of a sudden, he raises up, his eyes open. He says, this guy that I let in my house and I let in my heart back years ago has just come and called my name, and I was gone. Man, that's amazing to me. Don't you imagine when he hopped up and he had the bedclothes and all the death clothes around him? And then the Bible says Jesus looked at them, and it's the same thing he says to us. Loose him and let him go. You know when I believe the next time we see Lazarus? When Jesus enters into Jerusalem at his crucifixion. I believe that Lazarus is leading the donkey. And Jesus is going there on Palm Sunday. And here's the blind man and here's all the rest of them going with him. And I believe Lazarus is saying, I was dead, but I'm alive. I was blind. There's others there. I was blind, but now I see. The thing that hindered me in my life, I'm going to get there someday, and when I get there, the thing that hindered me in my life, I'm going to say, Lord, I took that stone away, and I cast it away. While they get a song, I want to ask you this question. You don't have to come here to pray. It's like Joe said, it's not about us, it's about the Lord. But if you want to come here and make peace with him, I invite you to come. If you want to come and come down and settle something with him, I ask you to come. If I can hopefully get the context of this message here that I believe God gave me, like I say, I've had a terrible time, a hard time getting through it because I didn't follow him like he wanted me to, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something in your life that you would rather get away from. A stone that hinders you, or a problem that's in your life that you need to be cast away from you. I want to ask you to come and drop it right here, if you will.
Taught the sun where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can only come this far, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening, whose words alone can catch a falling star. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit, he runs to the weary, the worn and the weary. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquered death to bring me victory. Oh, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, He lives to take away my shame, and He lives forever, I'll proclaim, for the payment of my sin was the precious life He and now He's alive, and there's an empty grave. And I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. I know, yes, I know. I know that I know.
I didn't expect to be here this morning. I wanted to be. And I got a call when I was on the jetway. And I just couldn't go. If you're here this morning, and I know the altar's already been full, I want to sing one more verse of song. And I've been to funerals of 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds. I had a very good friend, 22 years old. She was pregnant with twins, and she found out she had cancer. She decided that she was going to carry those babies. While she carried those babies, during that time, that cancer got worse. But those babies got here, and they gave her the bad news, and she held them in her arms. She said, I've got a Christian family. I've got a Christian husband, and God has given me 2 beautiful little baby boys. He's given me everything that I could ask for in life, and if He chooses to call me home, then I'm ready to go. Got the sad news that Colin has gone home to be with the Lord. I want to tell you, we have been trying to schedule a baptism for Colin to be able to be here when his dad could be here, because his dad's a police officer, and we're trying to get it coordinated together. But folks, baptism don't save you. I tell you what saves you is when you accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross and you say, I want that in my life so that I have the assurance that when I leave here, I know where I'm going. And if you had never made that decision, we're going to give you one more chance, because I want to tell you something. Your day and my day is coming. And I want to be ready to go. Now, I'm ready to go if the Lord calls me. When He calls me, as they sing that song, I'm going to fly away. Now, when I die, here's what I want y'all to do. I want y'all to have a hoedown. I want you to get together and praise God and worship and shout the praises of glory, because one more of God's children's gone home. Somebody here is not that sure. One more verse. Sing one more song. Are you confident? Everything's all right. I know I'm saved. I'm ready to meet Jesus.
Of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, He's proved faithful to me. Every word He's promised is true.
Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate Brother Larry standing and preaching the word this morning. I got to hear some of it, and I thank God for it. I thank God for the Spirit, and I thank God for this church. I know y'all have already had prayer for Colin's family, but let's continue to bear them up. Continue to pray for Colin's mama, his daddy, and his little sister. And something like this, you can only get through it by the grace of God. I know we, and I'll go ahead and tell you, we don't have the words to tell them. You don't. Sometimes all you can do is sit and hold their hand and put your arm around them and let them know that you love them. And that's what we need to do, amen? It's good to have our group back from Guatemala, amen? Let's give them a big hand. I'm sure they're going to have a presentation for us. We'll be looking forward to that and seeing. I've seen some of it already on Facebook. Some of them learn how to lay brick and be masons, and we got work for them to do around here, don't we, Brother Tom? Amen. Now we know all they can do. But thank you, Brother Larry. I appreciate it. Amen. Now, have you thought about a Bible study tonight? We're going to do that, or you want to? Well, that's up to you, because I'm not sure, brother, I'm going to be here. So, all right, here we go. Normally on 5:45, when we have Awana, we start about 5:30 with Awana. At 5:45, we'll have a Bible study. Brother Larry's going to be bringing a Bible study. We've been going through the book of Ruth. We're about done with it. And I wasn't obviously planning on being here today, but I will probably be tied up this afternoon. But if you want to come to the Bible study tonight, and remember Awana, support Awana. Now, thank you for coming to the house of God. Thank you for being here this morning. Amen. Brother Tom Payne, would you mind coming up and dismissing some prayer, please?
God bless you, Joe. Larry, God bless you. You mean a lot to me. You mean a lot to this church. One thing about Larry Hart, a message he brings comes from the heart. Amen. Thank you so much for coming today. God bless you. We had one soul saved Monday night. Now, that may not mean a lot to a lot of people, but I tell you what, old Johnny that got saved, it means a lot to him. Right, Adam? He told me down here at the altar, I had prayer with him. Because I asked him, I said, Johnny, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? He said, I don't think so. I said, would you like to go to heaven? He said, yes. I said, would you like to get it worked out tonight? And he said, yes, I would. And after having prayer with him, I asked him this. I said, now, Johnny, how you feel about heaven? He said, when I die, I'm going to heaven. Amen. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this mighty, mighty service today. And God, all we can say, words can never say enough about you. Because I, myself, am imperfect. And that's why that you, a perfect Savior, came and died on the cross for me. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunity to stand in your presence always, to speak your holy name, because God, you have the power to heal the broken heart. You have the power to heal the sick. God, you have the power to raise the dead, as Larry talked about this morning. Lord, we thank you for all of that. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for saving our soul, my soul. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, I ask these things. Amen.